Amen. Amen. Good morning. Well, today we are closing out our series. His name is, we've got to explore, many different names of God and the power of God and the characteristics of God. And he is provider. He is our strength. He is the one who fights and wins our battles. And he's the God who sees us and loves us. And it's been a powerful series with many powerful reminders about who God is, uniquely to you, to each of us, because he is a God that is personal, and he enters into a personal relationship with each and every one of us. So every characteristic, it's not just that God is those things for the world, he is those things for you, and it's such a powerful reminder. Today, as we close out, I want to just really spend some time on one of the names of God that's very near and dear to me, and it's the term Abba, which means Father, and I'll get into that in a minute. And I believe, you know, for this one, the reason why I chose this one is because this one, it really very much, I connect so deeply with it. Of course, I am a father, and a father of many children, and at the same time, I am an adoptive father. And as we look at our relationship with God, we are adopted sons and daughters into his family, and we get to call him our Father, our Heavenly Father, and it's a powerful thing. And I was just sitting back here listening to Chris and just thinking about this, the various ways in which, as a father, whether it's a foster father or an adoptive father or to just my children that are my forever children, there's various ways in which I've had to show love to these children, and really unconditional love, love that sometimes wasn't reciprocated back to me. And that is the love of the Father that he has to us. And I want to kind of touch base a little bit on that, but also talk about some other characteristics of the Father as well. So let's kind of dive into this phrase, Abba, Father. The phrase Abba is Aramaic. You can go ahead and put that up. And I just want to talk about it really quick. Abba, Aramaic word for Father. A couple quick notes here that I pulled from some commentary. When this phrase is uttered, it almost denotes a childlike intimacy and trust, where you're calling out or crying out to Abba Father and going to him in time of need and looking to him for protection. And so we have this Abba Father. It's also can be an informal term that a child would be privileged to use with his own father. Now, interestingly enough, this phrase Abba is only seen three times in the New Testament. You'll find it in Romans 8:15, Galatians 4:6, and then in Mark 14:36, this is when, and I'll read this a little bit later, this is when Jesus is in the garden and he cries, Abba, Father, and there's this moment of just anguish and distress and sorrow about what he's about to do. But there are other notes about this, like, so Jesus kind of began this practice of calling God Father. And one of the best examples of this that we have begun to adopt from Jesus' prayer is the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And so Jesus kind of began to model this prayer for his disciples, for his followers, and for us to begin to call him Abba. One commentator noted that while you only see it written or referenced a few times, and only once by Jesus, probably any time you see Jesus reference his Father in heaven, he is using the Aramaic Abba as opposed to the Greek, which is Pater. And so it's really cool to see it. And it's, again, you look at it from a place that it is a privilege to be able to call him his own Father. And this is something that Jesus continually told everybody, like, my Father has sent me. He is my Father. Me and the Father are one. And all of that, what he's saying is that we share this deep, intimate, trusting relationship. And so I wonder today, as you think about God as your Abba, as your Father, how do you picture him? What characteristics come to mind? And then as you think about that, I wonder today, how does your relationship with your earthly father or any father figure in your life, how does that impact your view and your relationship with your Heavenly Father? Because I think very much so when we have, we kind of use a reference as our earthly father and say, okay, this is how my earthly father was. And if God is now my father, and if my earthly father was abusive, if he was not around, if he just wasn't loving, if he was, then I don't know that I want a heavenly father. And so we can take our view of our earthly father, if it was a negative one, and put that on to our Abba Father, God in heaven. But I mean, even if you had the greatest relationship with your father here on earth, it is nothing compared to our Heavenly Father and the love that he has for us and the grace that he shows to us and the relationship that we get for him. Here's another question. If you're willing to share, how many of you would be willing to say that you either had or have a strained, difficult, or non-existent relationship with your father? It happens to a lot of us. And it's a difficult thing to process. And I raised my hand not just to get you to raise your hand, but that was true for me as well. And I love my dad, but our relationship was not great. And within that relationship, I experienced abandonment, discouragement, just a lack of communication and conversation, and even conditional affections. Not to mention that I got zero spiritual guidance and direction in my life from him. And I'm not going to spend too much time talking about that, but if you've experienced that in your life, then you know those feelings. You know the hurt and the pain that comes with it. And it's very easy to look at that and say, like, if that's what a father is going to be, I don't want anything to do with my Heavenly Father. And maybe that's the case for you, and your earthly view of your father has negatively impacted your view of our Heavenly Father. Thankfully, that didn't happen for me. My earthly father didn't negatively impact my view of my Heavenly Father. Instead, I believe God came in and became my father in place of my father, and he showed me love, and he showed me grace, and he showed me acceptance, and he showed me forgiveness, and I got to enter into this intimate, trusting relationship that a son should have with his father. And I'm so thankful that I was given that. Well, maybe that's not the same for you. Maybe that's not what you've been able to experience. My hope today is connect you to God as your Abba Father. In the same way that Jesus calls him Abba, that you would call him Abba. 2 Corinthians 6:18 simply says this. It says, I will be your father to you. You will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. He desires to be our father. He desires to love us. And just as Jesus has this relationship, you are and I are adopted into God's family because God desires to be your father. I want to read to you from Romans 8:14-16. It says, all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are his children. And it's a powerful thing to think about, to recognize that We get to share the same sonship as Jesus Christ. And that goes on, and I didn't share it here, but it goes on to say that if we are sons and if we are daughters, then we are also heirs. We are his children. And he loves us so much because it was through the Son's sacrifice, through Jesus' sacrifice, that you and I become sons and daughters of God. And I referenced earlier that Jesus referring to God as Abba, it signifies this relationship that's just built on intimacy. It's built on trust. And it goes both ways. And that relationship with the Father is one that is first and foremost, it's built on love. Really unconditional love. And all throughout God's word, man, from Genesis all the way through Revelation, do you want to know what God is showing to us? How much he loves us from beginning to end. He gave us life. He came and he breathes life into us and he creates us and he loves us. But from there, he provides. And if you look at the story of Genesis, he gives life to Adam and Eve. And from there, he provides them with food and clothing. He's our provider. And then he protects us and he guides us. And you see this go all the way through the Old Testament. And at the same time, what's he do? As a loving father should, he provides rules and he provides discipline. And you come to the culmination of all of it in the New Testament and the Gospels, where we get rescued and we get redemption from our sin and from death. And this is the gospel. It's seen throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament, and it showcases this deep, affectionate, unconditional, fatherly love that God has for us. And the truth of the matter is, you know, you heard this, like God desires to be our father so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for us. And if that wasn't enough, after that, he sent his spirit to then connect us to him. And then he gives us the word to teach us about him and how to love him and how to live for him. And so at the end of the day, God is the perfect model of a father to us. He is the perfect father. He is Abba Father. And at the same time, Jesus came and he began to model the perfect son to us. And we look at Jesus's life and we get to see all the characteristics of God poured out. And so Jesus came and he showed us and taught us how to have this deep, intimate, loving, obedient relationship with God, our Father. But at the same time, you read through the Gospels, you also begin to see Jesus model fatherhood to us. And he loves and he guides and he provides and he protects and he rescues and he redeems. He's a father to his children. And when I say children, you know, I'm talking about his disciples. I'm talking about his followers at the time. What was he to them? He was their spiritual father. But we also see instances where Scripture talks about how much Jesus loved children and cared for children and protected children and how much Jesus loved and honored and respected women. It's this perfect picture of friend, of father, of husband, of who we should be to one another. And so God shows love by sacrificing his son so that you and I can become adopted as children. And then Jesus comes and he shows grace and forgiveness and he serves and he's humble and he shows humility to others. And then, of course, he showcases self-sacrifice. And so the love of Abba, Father, includes sacrifice and grace, forgiveness, serving, humility, and self-sacrifice. And all of these characteristics are important if we want to have and maintain healthy relationships in our life. Here's the question to you. If you are a father, do your children get those same characteristics from you? Are you showcasing that to them? Now, of course, I'm talking about a father and talking to fathers, but at the same time, what is true of fathers is true for fathers and mothers. You must adopt the characteristics of our Abba Father. It's true for husbands and wives that we adopt the characteristics of Abba Father. It's true as a friend or a spiritual parent, we must adopt the same characteristics as our Abba Father. In order to have and maintain these healthy relationships in our life, we need to model the relationship that God the Father has with Jesus the Son. And that's what we pour into Scriptures, and that's why we sit here today and we learn about Scriptures. That's why throughout the week we read and we learn and we pray to him, because we want and we desire the very relationship that Jesus the Son has with God the Father. And so what I want to first point out and help you understand and make sure that you know, first and foremost, is this. Unconditional love is a defining characteristic of God as Father. So God as Abba Father, he loves us unconditionally. What's that mean? You can't earn it. You can't. You can't earn it. There's nothing you can do to get it. And at the same time, you don't deserve it. And so you just think about that. We don't deserve his love. We can't earn his love. But he created us and desires to be in relationship with us. And so he unconditionally loves us. And he gives his love freely, lavishly. And so if you hear anything today, hear this. God loves you. He loves you so much. And you may be going through something. You may be dealing with something. You may feel like everything around you is falling apart. Can I just have you today focus on the fact that God created you. He sent his son to die for you, to redeem you, and he loves you. Beyond what you have ever experienced in this world, his love is greater than anything that you could ever experience. And so he loves you. And I think it's one of those things that, like, my hope is that most people will come to this place where they see and understand the love of God. However, that's not the only attribute or characteristic of a loving father. And the next defining character trait of an Abba Father is a bit more difficult, and many struggle with it. And this is the characteristic of Abba as our disciplinary father. And so God as Abba Father, he disciplines us affectionately. And here's why I say affectionately. Because the love that Abba God has for us will manifest itself in discipline. You can read all throughout the Old Testament. You can read throughout the New Testament. He is a God who disciplines. He is a God who gives us rules and commands to follow. He is a God that follows that up with consequences and even punishment. And so one of the things I want you to know is that Jesus' relationship with God is built on love and obedience from the Son to the Father. And it's also built on love and discipline from father to son. Now, really quick, what I want to say is that any loving father will teach his children discipline. If you love your kids, you will discipline them. You'll take the time, because it's not easy. It's much easier not to discipline them. And our world's going to the crapper because of it, right? It really is. Because parents aren't willing to do what God modeled for them to do, what God did for them as father, is discipline. We don't like it. We absolutely don't like it, right? But we're called to discipline. And all throughout his word, God is teaching us discipline. And really, that discipline requires one thing, obedience. And some of you are like, man, I wish he'd just go back to talking about the loving part of God. Right? Like, I really like that. Like, I like to envision God just hugging me and loving me and just scooping me up. And I love that. But he's talking about discipline and obedience. Now, that makes me, I don't want to, let's not talk about that today. Let's go back. But here's the reality. And I get that, right? But here's the deal. If we only accept the love from God and not the discipline from God, we will struggle to have and maintain a healthy relationship with God. We will. And I know this from reading the Bible, but I also know this from an earthly parental standpoint. Because in parental relationships where the parents aren't willing to discipline, there is strain and struggle and disobedience, and it leads to separation in that relationship. And so there's gotta be discipline. And while this is a much harder characteristic to accept and adopt in our relationship with God and with others, it is one that is modeled to us by Jesus. And so Jesus, what he did is he modeled the love of the Father, right? We see that all throughout scriptures. We see him showing love and grace and forgiveness. But at the same time, you know what he modeled as well? Obedience to the Father. Perfect obedience. And I want to be clear, because I talked about the Father's discipline to the Son. Jesus was never disciplined, right? because he was perfectly obedient. However, Jesus did live a life of discipline and a life of obedience because he perfectly followed Abba Father's will and word. What God said, he did. What God told him, he did. You go to Mark 14:36, and I mentioned this earlier, and this is the moment where Jesus references God as his Abba. This is in the garden. This is the night before he's going to be, crucified on the cross, and he cries out, Abba, Father. Like, this is this moment of intimacy and trust and just saying, God, I know that you love me so much, but what I'm going through right now is too much. He says, all things are possible for you. Please take this cup away. This suffering that he knows is going to happen, that he's going to take it from me. But what is the very next line, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Not what I want, not what I desire, but what you will. And so Jesus is obedient to the Father's will, despite what it might cost him. And what that is showcasing is that Jesus is willing to sacrifice. Jesus is obedient to the Father, even to the point of death, leading to self-sacrifice. And where did this self-sacrifice come from? It was born out of love for his children. And so where there's obedience and where there is discipline, where you're willing to sacrifice and self-sacrifice, at the root of that, at the heart of that, you will find unconditional love. You don't deserve for Jesus to die for you on the cross. I mean, the very people he was dying for were cursing his name, spitting at him. And he still, while that's happening to him, he died for them because he loved them so much. And for us as adopted daughters and sons, you know, you think about what Jesus was willing to do, and then we think about the things that God calls us to do. There are moments when we can't even be obedient to God when he calls us to respond or react differently to a situation. Or when God calls us to be sacrificial of our time, of our money, or of our talents. Or when God says, hey, I need you to sacrifice your selfish wants and your selfish desires in order to showcase the love that you've experienced to other people around you. Jesus was obedient to the point of death. We can't even be obedient to give him, 30 minutes of our time. I mean, just think about that. And as you look at Jesus' life, here's what I believe. God's love is best showcased in our obedience to live for him, to live his word, to live in his will. Jesus' perfect obedience to the Father, it showed the love of the Father to the entire world. And so we as sons and daughters are called to that same discipline and to the same obedience to the Father. And after receiving the love from God, because we need to see that, we need to understand that, we need to connect to the love of the Father. And once we have that, then we need to look at Jesus's example of being obedient to the Father's will, to his word, and the spiritual disciplines that come along with it. And I want to read to you from Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 5 all the way through 11, and I'm going to take some breaks in between. And this is talking about the Father's discipline. It says, my son, do not take the Lord's discipline lightly or faint when you are reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and punishes every son he receives. And just grab a hold of that. Who does the Lord discipline and punish? Look at it. Where is it at? Who does he discipline and punish? The ones that he what? Loves. Every son receives discipline and punishment. And so what we see here is there is this unconditional love given by the Father, and it's also affectionate discipline. If he loves you, you will experience his discipline in your life. And if you're not, then that means you're not willing to submit and be obedient to his will for your life. Let me keep going. Verse 7. He says, endure suffering as discipline. Again, God is dealing with you as sons. And he goes on to say, for what son is there that a father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, which all receive, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. All right, don't miss this. Don't miss the severity of this statement. Too many Christians are willing to accept the love of the Father, but don't want to be disciplined or be obedient to the Father. And verse 8 says, if you are without discipline, you're illegitimate children. You're not sons. You're not daughters. And so God has this deep desire to adopt us as sons and daughters, but if we aren't willing to be obedient and live a life of discipline, then we aren't sons or daughters. Because it's in living his word, in his will, living the way that Jesus is, modeling who Jesus was, it's the spirit within us that leads us to obedience. And if we're fighting against that, then we don't have that, and that means we are not a son, we are not a daughter. It's a pretty severe statement in verse 8. Verse 9, furthermore, you know, we had natural fathers discipline us. And it goes on to say, and we respected them. And shouldn't we submit even more to the Father of spirits and live? And here's the truth when it comes to discipline. Proper, godly, affectionate discipline will result in respect. I'm not talking about abusive discipline. I'm not talking about controlling discipline. I'm not talking about your earthly and skewed views of how you are to discipline. I'm talking about a discipline that is affectionate, that is loving, that is born out of love, that God gives to us that then we then pour out to our children. When you are willing to discipline the way that God has disciplined you, you will get respect from the ones you are. They will respect you. And not just respect you, but love you for it. Do you understand? Your children will love and respect you when you are willing to give them the discipline that God has given to you. Too many parents in relationships, they just want to be a friend to their kids. And they remove the rules, they remove the discipline, they remove the obedience. And they think, if we do that, then we'll be buddy-buddy, and we'll have this deep, meaningful relationship, and it'll be so great. But honestly, when we remove all the things, the very opposite happens. And you lose the respect, and you lose the love, because what they needed from you and what you were given them to steward, you as their parent, God chose you to be the one who unconditionally loves them and affectionately disciplines them. And if you're not doing it, where are they going to get it from? And they need it. And we need it. As children of God, we need discipline. And if that's the case for us from him, then that also has to go from us as parents to our children. All children need discipline. They need discipline just as much as you need discipline from your heavenly Father. I mean, just think about our moments of want and desire and lust and passion, those things that ultimately lead to sin. And when we sin, we are being disobedient to how God has called us to live. And in order to be rescued from sin, guess what we need? We need discipline from the Father. We need consequences from the Father. And as he does that, guess what it showcases? Just how much he loves us. He says, I see where you're going. I see where it's leading. And I'm not willing to let you continue down that route. And so he loves us so much that he will not allow us to continue on the path that ultimately leads to hurt, pain, suffering, and regret, because that's what sin does. And when we live without discipline, when we live without obedience, when we live without consequences, it leads to death. Sin will always lead to death. And so as fathers and as mothers, we have to affectionately discipline our children, putting rules in place. And when disobedience happens, there's a consequence. And it's the same for us. Verse 10. It goes on and says, for they, and it's talking about earthly fathers, for they disciplined us for a short time based on what seemed good to them, But he, our Abba Father, does it. He disciplines for our benefit. And when we are disciplined, what do we get to do? We get to share in his holiness. Verse 11 says, no discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it yields the fruit of peace and righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And so this is so key and this is so important. The Father's affectionate discipline yields holiness, it yields peace, and it yields righteousness. For your children, that's what it does. In your life, that's what it does. In our relationships, that's what it does. Discipline and obedience, what's this saying, will lead to righteousness. And who do we see this modeled by? Jesus. And when we are willing to have the discipline and be obedient to God's word, to God's will, to God's way, we then take on the characteristics of Christ because Christ was holy and he was righteous. I think, man, at the end of the day, what I want to get across today is I want us to see the Father's love for us that is showcased in how the Father disciplines us and calls us to obedience. And parents, especially fathers, we need to be unconditionally loving our children, absolutely. But at the same time, we need to be affectionately disciplining our children. Again, too many parents, they've chosen to become a friend, and they get a little bit passive when it comes to disciplining. Or they maybe set up, you know, these rules and these boundaries, but when it comes to following through with the consequences, they just let it go. And so we've got to make sure that we're seeking the Father and seeing how he's disciplining us and leading us to obedience, and then we give that to our children. You see, our loving Father, he doesn't give in to the selfish wants and desires and the sinful demands of his children. He just doesn't. And when we do that with our children, we're not showcasing the love of the Father. We're doing the opposite. Because he's not going to give in to your wants. He's not going to give in to your selfish demands to him. He's not going to give in to your whining and complaining. He's going to love you unconditionally, and he's going to give you exactly what you need when you need it. And it will be loving, and there will be discipline. And I believe as parents, we're called to do the same thing with our children. And here's the last thing I want to share. Our Abba Father's unconditional love. And this is what I want you to get. Our Abba Father's unconditional love is just as important as his affectionate discipline and vice versa. There's both. He is both in our lives. We see it all throughout Scripture and we see it modeled to us. I want to ask that you stand to your feet, bow your heads, close your eyes as we close out our time today. And I just want to turn this to you and into your relationships. Because I talked in the beginning. It was everyone's head bowed, everyone's eyes closed, no looking around. I talked to us in the beginning about the relational strain that we might have with our earthly fathers. And I think to close out today, I want to ask you, I wonder, like, is there any relational strain between you and your Heavenly Father? Is there relational difficulty? Is there a lack of communication and conversation? And if you know, in this moment, if you say, yes, there is relational strain between me and my Heavenly Father, what's the cause of that? Maybe you say, I just don't like the way things are going in my life. I don't fully understand why things are happening the way they are. Why is God doing this to me? I think oftentimes when we have relational strain with our Heavenly Father, we like to point the finger at him, but I think right now you need to begin to point that finger back at you. Where have you failed to live obediently to his word? Where have you failed to be obedient to his calling? Where have you swayed or gotten away from living out his word to the fullest, caving into the cultural standards of this world or the traditional beliefs of your family. It's easy to go to God and say, God, why are you doing this to me? But I think at the same time, God is saying to you, I loved you so much. I gave you everything you need. I provided, I protected, I guided, I rescued and redeemed, but you refuse to listen, to follow, and obey. I think it's one of those things, like, you want to show God that you love him? Do what Jesus did. Be obedient, no matter the sacrifice. And hear this. In obedience to God, you will have to sacrifice many things on this earth. And you may not understand why you have to do that. You may not understand what God is doing. You may want to hold on to whatever it is, but if God is calling you to let go, let go and trust him. Trust him like the loving father that he is. Trust him knowing that he knows what's best for you and he knows what you need. You know, as God the Father has these two characteristics, sometimes it's really easy to grab a hold of one or grab a hold of the other. And so maybe you feel the relational strain because you've grabbed a hold of the love of God but have disregarded the discipline of God. Or maybe it's the complete opposite side where you have grabbed a hold of the discipline of God and you're so rigid that you forgot about the love of God. And this will manifest itself in how you treat others, your spouse, your children, friends. But it also manifests itself in how you treat God. So just spend some time today, right now, praying through that and thinking through that. And I'll say this, if we want to be the husbands and fathers, the mothers and wives, the friends and spiritual parents to the ones that God has put in our care, we've got to make sure that we get this right and continue to work on receiving unconditional love and giving unconditional love, on receiving affectionate discipline and giving affectionate discipline. And this is hard, right? But we continue to look to Jesus' example and what he did, the way he loved, the way he offered grace and forgiveness, the way he taught, the way he cared, the way he encouraged. But it's not just those things. Those are the loving things. But Jesus also rebuked, and Jesus also disciplined. And Jesus, he came and he served and he sacrificed for others in big ways. So we look at the Father God's example and his love and how he adopted us and cared for us and unconditionally loved us. And we look at his son who came and modeled that here. He was that earthly representation of the Father's love. But we also got to grab hold of that obedience. We also got to grab hold of that discipline. God, right now, I pray that your spirit is moving in our hearts, that it's cutting through our pride, that it's cutting through the years of family tradition and this is how we always have done it, or this is how I was taught and this is what I was told. God, I just pray that we take the world's ways and we toss them aside and begin to love unconditionally. We begin to discipline affectionately, just like our Abba, our Father, has done to us. May we rest in your love. And may we live in obedience to your will. It's in Jesus' name that I pray.